Let's give them a warm round. They used to live Camden Mews about 10 years ago, I think. 15? No, I don't believe it. 15, goodness me. Okay, 15 years ago, they lived in Camden Mews, and part of this church for many years gave so much, served so hard, and then they got promoted. They got promoted to Harrow. First South Harrow, now I think North Harrow. You're going up in the world, is that right? Cliff, Beth, John, lovely to have you with us. Cliff's one of the pastors of a New Frontiers Church in Harrow. And so it's a real joy to have them all with us today. Looking forward to your preaching or your praying, whatever you're going to do for us later on. Let's give Cliff a warm, warm round. Cliff.
You're on, boy. At the end of it, thank you.
Okay, please ignore the question on the overhead for 2 seconds. Well, it's really good to be with you. Good morning. It was 15 years ago, I think. 15 years ago since we moved on to pastures new, but maybe not pastures better. I think that time John was a lot shorter. And Beth is as beautiful as ever. Good to get that one in early, isn't it? Fantastic. Well, I've got a question for you today, and it's a funny one. If you went to a Waterstones bookshop, what would you buy? What would you buy? And I better get my clicker over here. Maybe you're not a book person, but maybe you'd kind of get something in the charts, a fictional novel. Maybe you'd get the Hairy Dieter's diet book. I've got that on order. And maybe the Very Hungry Caterpillar, if you're young and you're not into dieting. Or maybe, if you're like me, you might just get a comic book. Well, the thing is, I want to ask you today, and I'm just going to do a very quick survey. How many of you would buy a book of poetry? Okay, any poets? Yeah, one. There we go, three. Fantastic. I confess, maybe. Four. Any more? Okay, well, four or five, and maybe me as well on the odd occasion. Well, this morning, I want to take us into the book of Psalms, and as I was praying, I was feeling drawn to a particular psalm, and I thought, no, Lord, you can't think that I'm going to have to preach. It's so familiar, but it is, and it's so famous. But I believe that the Lord wants to bring to us this morning, if I've got my title, some summer refreshment from Psalm 23. And if I had to give a title of the talk this morning, it would be Encountering Jesus the Good Shepherd. Encountering Jesus the Good Shepherd. So before we dip in, Lord, we thank you that you are our shepherd. Lord, we thank you that you are the one who came from heaven. You are the one who came for us. You are the one who came to win a people, to die for men and women and children, that we could be free, forgiven, and come into relationship with you. Thank you that you draw us and you love us and you have an eternity that stands in front of us. But we ask today, Lord, that you would speak, that you would encourage, that you would free, that you would fill us, and that you would equip us for the days to come. We pray for fresh encounter with you today. We need you, and we desire you, and we say, Lord, would you have your way? Father, send your Holy Spirit amongst us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, J.I. Packer said this. He said that since God controls all that happens in his world, every meal, every pleasure, every possession, every bit of sun, hooray, every night's sleep, every moment of health and safety, everything else that sustains and enriches life is a divine gift. And I think that that word gift and grace is something that, again and again, everything we have is a gift, isn't it? Every bit of life is a gift from God. It's a grace gift from God. And I believe that God wants to just underline to us again that he is the good God. Now, let me just grab my notes or we could be here for a long time. It says in Psalm 119 that God is good and he does good. God is good and he does good. Now, if you say someone's good, sometimes that doesn't get much of a... It's not highly rated, is it? You know, he's good. It's kind of a C+. But God is good. And Herwin Bavanck, a German guy, said, God's goodness is the sum total of all his perfections. Goodness is that perfection in God which prompts him to deal bountifully and kindly with all creatures. Psalm 145 says, the Lord is good to a few, to all, and he has compassion on all he has made. Well, let's move on. And we come to this wonderful psalm. And I believe that, again, in this summertime, I've been longing for the sun to come. I've been longing. I mean, it was June, nothing was happening. It felt like the year hadn't started. And we were saying, bring the sun. And it's come, and then people are saying, take the sun away. But it's wonderful, isn't it, just to experience the fresh breeze, the wonderful warmth that God provides. And I believe today that he wants to come, and in this summertime, he wants to refresh us with his rest, with his presence, and with his goodness. And he wants to underline that he is in control. The Lord Jesus is our good shepherd. He is the one who is ours powerfully and personally. And he wants to say to us today, I believe, that he gives this psalm to us. Now, I don't know what your summer reading list is like. Maybe the Hungry Caterpillar isn't on it. But as you go away, if you have some time, I believe he's saying, look, just take this psalm away. And it may be so familiar to you. You may have memorized this. It may be deep down in your consciousness. You may know every word. But I believe he wants to give this short six-verse gift again to us, this pearl of psalms, this kind of just this gift of grace, and say, read this and dip into it and memorize it and dwell in it and see which verses speak to you so that God can give something solid and enriching to you that will nourish you, that you can carry with you, and that you can have kind of for good. Now, it's interesting, they dug somebody out of an earthquake in Iraq who was meant to have died. And after several days, they pulled her out. And as they pulled her out, they heard that she was quoting something. And she was quoting this psalm. She was quoting the Lord's psalm. So let's just look at it together. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I want to restate the obvious. And this is one of my favorite quotes from George Orwell. And he said this. He said, it's sometimes the first duty of intelligent men is the restatement of the obvious. And I'm just going to do this very briefly in a couple of slides. And everyone knows this, but we need to hear this again. Psalm 23 is about relationship. It's not about rules. It's not about following certain standards or ethical or moral kind of patterns. It's about relationship with a wonderful shepherd. And the other thing about Psalm 23 is very obvious and comical and apt, that we are the sheep. And I suppose sheep, in some ways, they are not a great animal to be compared to, because in some ways they're quite dumb, they're defenseless, they're dependent, and they're directionless. And I haven't had much encounter with any sheep, except on a holiday in North Wales one time. It was very wet, and I'd been out for a walk, which was really unusual. And I came back, and the door of the kind of cottage was open, and you know, it was one of those cottages where you stepped in, and that was it. And as I stepped into the cottage, I don't know who was more surprised, me or the sheep. And it was just, it kind of looked at me, and I think it did make its way past me and out. And that's my one and only encounter with a sheep in North Wales. So if we have any shepherds here, then I apologise for the lack of skill in that. But I think Psalm 23 is full of beautiful images of green pasture, of quiet waters, of dark valleys, of cups being poured on our heads with oil, of goodness and mercy pursuing us, of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. But the background is one of difficulty and of danger, of hardship and harsh terrain. And sometimes I'm sure that the outside Jerusalem and in Bethlehem and in those places of Israel, it wasn't like Wales full of fresh green grass. It was a place of arid desert where the shepherd would have to work hard to guide his flock into a place of nourishment and finding water, finding pasture. And I believe that the wonderful thing today that I believe that the Lord wants to underline is that he is committed to leading us. The sheep are directionless, they're dependent and defenseless, and as people, we need a shepherd much more than sheep need a shepherd. And we so need his help, don't we? We so need his protection and his care, his provision and his guidance. We so need his interventions, and we so need his life laid down for us. So if we were to look at the Bible, you would see many images of sheep and shepherds right through its pages. And if you look to in Ezekiel, you would hear that the prophets came, and Ezekiel said he prophesied of one who would come to give rest and good pasture to his people. And we read in Isaiah where he said God was powerful and that he would come with power, his reward with him, but he would care for the sheep. He would carry the lambs close to his heart. And so we have this picture, the Lord, Yahweh, the all-sufficient God who needs no one, and yet the one so powerful who has made the stars, who has made the galaxies, who has made every breath, has given us life and every good thing. This all-powerful one who sustains life, and yet he is the very personal one who comes and looks out and looks after and intervenes for us. And so I just want to make a quick track through this psalm. And it's clear that Jesus is not just a good shepherd, he is a good friend. And the root in the Hebrew for shepherd comes from the word for friend. And it's here that Jesus, when he stood on the earth in Jerusalem, and he announced, "I am the good shepherd." As he announced those words, what was in the minds of the people? That they went back and they thought of the prophecies from Ezekiel and Isaiah. They thought of this Psalm of David that they've written. And he said, "The shepherd is here." The one prophesied, the one spoken of, the good shepherd, the Lord God, Yahweh, is here in the flesh, ready to do something that no other person was qualified or could ever do. That Yahweh would come, that Jesus has come, and the good shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep. No other person, no other name, no other one could ever do that. Jesus came to win a flock for himself. And he shed his blood on the cross. It says he was pierced through for our transgressions. The punishment that was due to us, the punishment that we were due to bear, was placed on him. And he suffered for our iniquities. Why? Because we were all like sheep who'd gone astray. But the good news is, in Christ, the grave could not hold him, and he rose again, it says in Hebrews, as the great shepherd of the sheep, overcoming death and sin and rising and rising and rising. Jesus above all. And so this good shepherd, this great shepherd, has come and has made a way where there seemed to be no way. And so he's not only a good friend, but he's a good protector, and he gives rest. He leads us beside those quiet waters. He leads us beside those streams. And he wants to, I believe, nourish us and feed us. And he's committed to making us lie down. Have you ever been in a situation where God has forced you to lie down? Where he said, okay, that's enough. I had a guy who is a very good plumber, and he works 7 days a week. He's from Kosovo, and he's the hardest working man I know. But I said to him, you need to take a rest, because if you don't have a rest, then someone will make you lie down and rest if you don't. And I think the Lord is committed to our rest, and he is the one who wants us to draw strength from feeding well, from having nourishment. And he wants to nourish us with himself and with his word. And so let's move through this, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on some of these verses. But the Lord that struck me when I was reading this psalm again, he gives good direction to us. And it says, he guides me in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. He guides me in right paths for the honor of his name. So he's committed for the glory of his name. Because of his glory, he is committed to guiding us. Not just because he loves us, but because it is to the glory of the Father, the glory of the Son, the glory of the Holy Spirit. He is committed to seeing us go in the right direction. The message says, you send me in the right direction. And it's wonderful. The Message version says, you've bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. You let me catch my breath. Do you need to catch your breath? Do you need a holiday? Do you need just some time aside? I believe, you know, I really need a holiday. But it's good sometimes, isn't it, just to sit and to feel the breeze of God's presence, just to sit quietly and know his goodness, to just say, thank you, Jesus. You are so kind. You are so good. You want to refresh me. And maybe there's some sense of some people here who just need to do that, to come aside and sit and put the fan on. And I just must tell you about my friend Carl, in terms of a shepherding care. And I've asked permission for him to give me his little story. But the reason I mention him is his brother bought him a fan, a Dyson fan. Anyone got a Dyson fan? And he put it into the office where Carl works. And it was £300. And it was good. It was a good fan. And but the interesting story, the brother giving the fan to Carl, was that 3 years ago, Carl came to a night shelter that the churches in Harrow had decided to start because of another homeless guy. And this homeless guy, an Irishman called Eddie, was convinced there were many homeless people in Harrow. The council said, there are no homeless people in Harrow. So the shelter went ahead with 10 churches and lots of support. And on the first day, 5 people were referred to us from the Harrow Council to be part of the shelter. One of those people was Carl. And Carl had spent 7 years living in a water tower in one of the hospitals in Harrow. He used to catch a bus with a funny ticket and go and get some support and refreshment and food in central London. But he felt a couple of years ago that the winter was going to be really harsh, and he came to the shelter. And he met some Christians and he received a lot of help, and he was able to get some accommodation. His birth certificate was recovered and he was able to get some benefits. And what happened to him was, as a kind of thank you to a few of the people, he decided to come to church. And no one had mentioned to him, that was one of the kind of ethical things of the shelter, that no one was preached to. They were just looked after. So he came to church and just to say thank you. And he's been there ever since. And since that time, he went on Alpha. He came to the Lord. He's been baptized. He is involved in putting out the chairs and the flags. And he's taken on to church staff as the caretaker of a building that God provided. And what was even more wonderful in some ways is he was reunited with his brother. And then his brother, a couple of days ago, brought him this £300 fan. Carl's story is the story of the Good Shepherd, that someone who'd had a broken and bruised background, at the right time, God drew in with his care, with his love, drew him into his family, gave him a job, more importantly, brought him into a relationship with Jesus and reunited him with his family. And he's giving him a lovely fan to cool him in the summer heat. That's the Jesus we worship, isn't it? And I believe he wants to bring that refreshment to us today and every day. And so I don't want to go through every verse here. But I want to just say that God wants to underline that he is a good companion. And you may not be experiencing a wonderful summer. You may be going through the dark valley. The good news about dark valleys is, well, valleys are temporary and they will come to an end. But the bad news is we do have to go through them. And you may be going through some stuff right now, but God promises to be with you and to be close beside you in his presence and also in his people. And I just move on quickly from there. But where I want to get to this morning is that God gives us his good presence. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. The shepherd had to clear good grassland, provide good tableland on the tops of the hills, and may have even had to kind of clear the bad stuff, the roots and all the poisonous weeds, and was there standing strong, guarding, watching, and then allowing the sheep to come and feed. But he would also have to anoint their head with oil, and one of the factors in that is because of the disease and the actual problems with insects and mites and the larvae. I mean, I didn't want to say this, but I'll say this just to get your interest, that sometimes when the sheep were drinking and they'd get their nose in the stuff, then some of this larvae would get up their nose, literally, and if they carried on, they would kind of burrow away there and kind of start to get into their brains, and it wasn't nice stuff. And sheep had a lot of flies and afflictions and things like that. So the shepherd would come and he would just place his oil upon them just to cool them, to medicate them, to help them to know a soothing and dealing with the larvae and the insects and the irritations that would get below the surface. This oil would come because there was a need for medication and there was a need for health. And I believe that God wants to come this morning and freshly anoint us with oil. I believe that he wants to come and touch us. Now, a few years ago, I was trying to think how many. I was in a meeting, and I know Paul was there, I know Gerard was there, maybe Nick was there, but we were in a meeting in North Finchley at St. Barnabas Church, and there was a guy called Bob Crane. He was from the Vineyard, and I can't remember anything about his message. He just said, "Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus." So I remember that much, and that's pretty good to remember that. But he was giving words and praying for people, and I think he prayed for several people, actually, in New Life, people, he was calling them out. And I'd always wanted to be healed because I wear contact lenses and I wear glasses, and I really wanted to be healed, and I've prayed for healing for my eyesight at various times, you know, because otherwise you've got to borrow the lens solution and your glasses get broken. And anyway, I'm sure you can sympathize. So I thought, what can I do? A step of faith. This was many years ago. And I thought, I'll take my contact lenses out and just, "Lord, come on. This is the presence of the Spirit is here." So I took my lenses out, put them in my case. You know what happened? I couldn't see very well. But the second time, I just kind of, nothing's happening here. And I am quite short-sighted, you know, not Mr. Magoo, but pretty short-sighted. And for those of you who are very young, you won't know who Mr. Magoo is. But then Bob Crane said, "Okay, can the couple over there, which is me and Beth, can you come out?" Now, Beth was pregnant with John at that time. And so he said, "You're not on the list, but I'd like to pray for you." And so he prayed for us. And he just prayed some stuff. And he said, "Well, maybe one day you're going to be involved in shepherding and pastoring people. And it won't be anything you do. It'll just be something that comes up." And so I was after healing. And I was after my eyes to be set right. But instead of that, I got something else. Something I didn't bargain for. A prophetic word. And that word did come right. And sometimes, you know, when you have words of knowledge and you say someone with a ear infection in their left ear and you come out and it's prayed for and you can be healed. But sometimes God wants to do some other things. Sometimes he just gets you out because he wants to touch your life. One guy who everyone would be familiar with, and I'll tell you his name at the end, he was in a meeting in an Anglican church. And there were some guys, again, from the Vineyard Church, and they basically had some words of knowledge. But the first word knowledge was, "There's something like 10 people here with athlete's foot." And 9 people stood up, and the wife of the husband, who was the 10th one, said, "Get up, it's you." He said, "I'm not getting up for athlete's foot." That is, first of all, it's ridiculous. Secondly, I like itching my foot. This is what he said. This is not me. And so anyway, he went up very sheepishly, very reluctantly, and came forward. And the guy said, who was on the ministry team, "Do you want to be healed of your athlete's foot?" And he said, "No." So this is in a crowded Anglican church. And so they said, "Well, actually, what we'll do... Well, what do you want? What you're out here?" And he said, "Well, I'd love to just receive an equipping and empowering more of the Holy Spirit to do whatever. But I'm not interested in the athlete's foot." So the guy who was very new to the ministry team, he knew one kind of prayer, which was, "More power, Lord. So bring your presence." And so he prayed for him in sincerity. And it says there was an electricity and the presence of God came on him. And so the guy only knew this prayer and he kept praying more. And this other, the guy receiving felt, "Oh no, I can't take any more." So he was starting to say, "No more power, Lord, no more power." And it was getting into a little bit of a, it was getting louder and louder, "More power, no more power." This is a truth, you can verify this. And what happened was that John Wimber was in the meeting. And he said, "Can you take this person out?" So they carried this person out, and they carried him through the kind of French doors, and the power of God was really on him. And at the end of his time, John Wimber said, the Lord is touching this man with power to reach people for Jesus, to tell people about Jesus. Well, the guy who had the athlete's foot was, I'm sure as many of you know, was Nicky Gumbel. And he went forward and he got more than he bargained for, because God wanted to anoint him with oil and he wanted to equip him. He wanted to raise up an army, as we've been singing about. And he wanted to touch him and use him and call him into his service. And at that time he was a barrister, and he then had to make that choice to go and serve in that way. Why do I tell that story? Because I believe that, yes, we need the presence of God. It's the Message version says, you revive my drooping head, my cup brims with blessing. And, you know, maybe a few of us, maybe like me, feel you're drooping, and I need some more of your presence, Lord. And that's wonderful. And I believe that today also God wants to do the overflow thing, that the ministry of God flows to us. We're called to be blessed so we can be a blessing to others. And for many years, as our family was here, we were blessed. We had the overflow, and continue to have the overflow of your prayers and your lives. And when I think back, 15 years ago, has gone by like a flash. John is 6'3", and I'm shrinking. But the care and the love that we received here was because people knew how to follow the Lord. They walked with him. They had that relationship with the great shepherd. And the wonderful thing about Psalm 23 is goodness and mercy surely will continue to follow us. I was speaking to one of my friends called Ed the other day, who's about in his 60s, and he has suffered the loss really, really painfully and sadly of two wives. His first wife died of cancer. His second wife died of cancer. And through that time, he knew the sustaining presence of Jesus. God was with him. And then fairly recently, he suffered a kind of heart problem and had to have a major operation. And again, God has so powerfully kept this guy just walking with him by grace. And then recently, all he wanted to do was get back to health and play golf. Golf has kept him going, and it's been a blessing that God has given to him. So he goes onto the golf course, and he's got group that evening. And he goes into the golf course, and then as he hits the ball, and it goes down a hole. So he thinks, I'll just go and reach down. So he reaches in, and he gets stung because he's reached into a wasp nest. And so he goes to group that evening. And this is one of the kind of topics. And they were saying, can you honestly say that surely goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life? And Ed was able to say, with his hand swollen up, with all of his history, because I know Jesus, because he's kept me, because he is there for me, he has saved me, he's given me a new heart and a new life and a new destiny. And as they prayed for him that evening, the swollen hand shrunk down and was healed. And while we have many questions as to, you know, there is suffering and difficulty, we know that Jesus is there, pursuing us, tracking us down, intervening with his goodness and his grace. So I want to really close there. I don't know how long I've been going on for. I had to leave. My watch broke the other day. But I think that it would be lovely. I would really love to just be able to pray, just to pray for us all. But if any people would want to have some just prayer for God to anoint them afresh, to know his empowering and his goodness, then we'd love to be able to do that with you. I just felt today that there were a few people where you really needed to receive a refreshing from God. and maybe you felt, oh gosh, things are hard, I'm pressing through, I'm not breaking through, but I just need to know your touch. And I really think that that is for some people here today. So Father, I thank you so much that you are a good shepherd to us, that it is all of grace. We thank you that, Father, you so loved the world that you sent your Son, you gave your Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life, relationship with you. And Lord, we invite you to come and have your way with us this morning. And we thank you for your care day by day, hour by hour. Thank you that you don't go away, that you look after us through difficult and dry seasons, and you come and lead us to pools of fresh water and green grass of meeting with you. Lord, would you feed us? Would we take this psalm away and nourish ourselves on its truth? Would you reveal more of yourself to us, Lord Jesus? And we ask, Lord, that you would come alongside us and that you would indeed refresh us this morning. And we invite you, Lord, to come and anoint our heads with oil, to heal us, give us peace of mind and true perspective, and at the same time, empower us and equip us to serve you and reach out to others with your good news, with the gifts, and with your grace upon our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I think what I'd love to do is, if I'd just like to pray one prayer over everybody. So if you'd like to receive, I'd just invite you to stand up. And I just want to pray my best prayer for you. And then if you'd like to receive some prayer ministry, again, Beth and John are here with me, and I'm sure that others would be great to just pray with you. Father, we thank you. And we just ask, Lord, that specifically now you would come. We invite you, Father, to send the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you've called, you've said that you will build your church. And we invite you to come and build your church here, Lord. We thank you that you are sending people, you are gathering people to this church. We thank you, Lord, that when they come, they will find a welcome. They will find the teaching of the kingdom and that they will find healing. And we ask, Lord, that you would gather those who you have called to be part of this specific church. And we ask for a fresh equipping and empowering upon all those who are here. Thank you that you are raising an army to serve you, to worship you. Lord, would you gather the army? Would you gather men and women and children here in Jesus' name? And we ask, Lord, come upon each person. Come upon them now, freshly, with your presence. Come and have your way, Lord, for a fresh encounter with you that would be freeing and fulfilling and would be something that sees us on and through into the next days. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Well, if anyone would like to receive some prayer, we would be great. It'd be great to pray with you. And just ask the Lord to come upon you. We're really good. I just want to ask if there is anybody here, you know, to do come forward for anything. But if there is anybody here who does have, has had an ear infection, right ear and maybe someone left ear, but if you've had an ear infection, love to pray for you. Also, if you've particularly felt that you were kind of hitting a brick wall at the moment, again, we would love to pray for you. But generally, if anyone would like prayer, it would be fantastic just to ask the Holy Spirit to come freshly upon you. Okay, thank you.
For the rest of us, let's worship, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, and let's personally all receive what God has for us.